Welcome to the Wedgeworth Leadership Podcast. My name is Marissa Crowhurst, graduate student assistant with the University of Florida and the Wedgeworth Leadership Institute. And I am excited to be joined with three of our Class 12 members for this episode, John Small, Janelle Taylor, and Caleb Van Wingerden. With so much to unpack from each seminar, we are extending our reflections through this podcast to share our experiences with everyone, whether you're in the field or on the road. In this episode, we will be reflecting on Seminar 1, which took place in Gainesville, Florida, and the surrounding communities. If each of you would like to briefly introduce yourselves and share your involvement in agricultural and natural resources.
Good afternoon, Marissa. My name is John Small. I'm the general manager for Calmaine Foods in Okeechobee, Florida. I've been a Floridian, resident Floridian, and a part of the egg layer business for the last 15 years. And reside here with my family in Okeechobee, manage a egg laying operation just north of the lake.
Thanks, John. Janelle, would you like to go next?
Sure. My name is Janelle Taylor. I am the nursery operations manager at Ralph Taylor's Nurseries in Bradenton, Florida. We commercially grow plants for Home Depot. I'm also involved with the FNGLA as our Minnesota president, and engaged in multiple community endeavors, such as community gardens.
Thanks, Janelle. And last but not least, Caleb, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Caleb Van Wingerden. I live in Tallahassee, Florida. I own and operate a greenhouse here in outside of Tallahassee, Sunblessed Gardens. We sell to Costco and other greenhouses throughout the Northeast. I've been in agriculture my whole life, and I've been in Florida since 2010.
Great. Thank you so much, guys. All right. So I will let our Class 12 members begin with sharing their reflections and takeaways from the first seminar. Who would like to go first?
I'll go ahead and lead it off. After we begin our day, the first day, our first seminar, with a lot of fun outside, with a ropes course, and some team building, and got through some introductions to make sure we knew one another. It was a great opportunity to spend some time outdoors and enjoy, get to know each other, enjoy each other's company. Once we finished that aspect of the seminar, we moved to our very first keynote speaker. It was Mr. Jeremy Foley, the former athletics director of the University of Florida. And those of you who know about the University of Florida know Mr. Foley had a very successful career as an athletics director. However, what I really appreciate about his talk, what I took a lot away from, was his candidness. Ordinarily, when you hear someone talk about leadership, they'll tell you what their values were, and they'll tell you from the very get-go how they did everything right, all the way up, all the way through their entire career. Mr. Foley, instead, he shared with us a very big inflection point in his career, right in the center of his career, that changed the way that he operated, and it changed his values. He received some negative feedback, and it really stung a lot, but he took it to heart, and he reinvented his management style in such a way that he could be more inclusive to those around him, and as a result, he was able to share those values and exemplifies those values through the University of Florida Athletics Department and achieve great success throughout the athletics department, not just in the key sports of basketball and football. So I really appreciate his candidness in sharing with us and sharing how focusing on key values can really help to solidify direction of an organization.
Yeah, I really liked the way he touched on the values. The four values that he spoke about were teamwork, accountability, respect, and okay is not okay. He really emphasized on high energy, high passion. And that really just spoke to me about, what it takes to go far in the world. You have to have teamwork and you have to have energy and passion. And then the values was interesting because we got to do later on, I think it was the second day, we got to do the values activity, which was 100 cards of, your values and had three sentences of kind of what related to that value. One of the values that stood out to me was just the flexibility that we had. Sorry, I'm I went off track right there. Bring me back.
Well, Caleb, I think that you were wanting to touch a little bit about the values workshop that we worked on with Miss Megan Cantrell. How did you feel about that workshop?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was very difficult to actually go through all 100 cards and actually put it in perspective of kind of what I appreciate and what I actually hold true to myself when things don't go away, don't go the right way, and kind of what I actually gravitate towards.
I agree with you, Caleb. I found it to be really difficult as well. I mean, I got down to maybe 20, and then I narrowed it down to 9, and those 9 were really hard to cut down to 6. And I found a lot of mine were very interrelated. So I had a lot of wholeheartedness and enthusiasm. But what I really took from the values was reflecting on things that maybe I did wrong in my leadership path, because I let my values down and I let people stomp all over my values. And that was a hard thing to accept and really reflect on. But I think it's something that I've learned that I've got to reflect. I can't even remember the last time that I reflected at all. And I feel like Wedgeworth is very big on reflecting. And so I'm looking forward to really implement that in my life. But I think also the values kind of alluded to my personality in the DISC assessment that we did the next day.
Danielle, can you explain to us what DISC stands for?
Sure. So the DISC assessment, it was a personality test. It was a more in-depth personality test than I think that I've ever taken. So the D stands for dominant. So that could be ambitious, goal-oriented, strong-willed, decisive. I is inspiring. So maximum effort to involve, tendency to reject isolation, impulsive, enthusiastic, spontaneous, social. S is stability, so calm, self-controlled, loyal, modest, supportive, good listener. And then C is compliant, so systematic, conventional, analytical, follow the rules, logical. And it's really cool because our group is very diverse today. We've all got different personalities when it comes to DISC. I'm an S. So stability, and it's interesting because at first I thought, I was like, there's no way that this is me. Absolutely not. And as I started to read through the packet, which was a lot of information to take in, I realized that is me to the absolute T. And so now I've been able to already utilize that information within meetings, because I'm starting to realize who the people I'm talking to are and how to deal with them. What did you guys think about it?
I was really impressed with the quality of the assessment as far as how it evaluated who you were personally. There was an AI written narrative about how other people perceive you, how you perceive yourself, and how you function in a leadership role. And I was absolutely blown away by the quality of that series of paragraphs, about how accurate that it was with regard to myself. I was also blown away. We had a classmate who, if you looked at the disc, if you looked at the number and where we fell, we were very, very close on the wheel, on the color wheel of where we would fall as far as our personality was concerned. When I read my narrative, I thought, that's absolutely me. When he read his narrative, he said, that's absolutely me. When I read his and he read mine, even though we fell at nearly the same point on the color wheel, I said, that's not so much me. And he agreed exactly the same way. So it was shocking. It wasn't just giving you a specific number of who you are. It was integrating all four components of the personality and then determining what type of person, what type of role you fill in a leadership role and how you'd interact with others. And I was just absolutely blown away and shocked at how accurate it was.
Yeah, John, you're a D, Danielle's an S, I'm an I, And it was very interesting to see, you know, kind of during even the class, we had some banter back and forth between the D's and the S's and how kind of they're completely direct comparison of each other. And it was just interesting to kind of sit back and take that in, you know, as a spectator to watch something like that transpire during that. And I find myself, as I was reading the report, just laughing and underlining almost everything. I had a hard time not underlining all of the stuff that it was bringing out. And it just really tied right back into the values cards that we did the day before. So I just really put together presentation, and I love the way that they gave us even a report for our significant others, you know, and did the report based on our wife or husband. It was really, really great to bring that home and to kind of have an aha moment.
I loved that they did the spouses too, because I found out my husband and I are both in the exact same. We're both S's, which probably is why we work so well together. But I loved how they gave the adaptive personality and the natural. And I found that I'm not only an S, but I am in the exact same box for both my natural personality. So when I'm with friends, when I'm socializing, and also when I'm at work. And so I think that made me open my eyes that I take things a little too personally, because I am who I am at work as I am who I am in everyday life. And so I loved that quote and I remember it in my head in almost every meeting since our first seminar, is it's not personal, it's personality. And that has helped me tremendously through even our first business meeting. You know, I walked away and didn't take it personally. And that was huge growth already for me.
Sounds like you guys learned a lot about yourselves and your values and how you are as leaders. What are some other takeaways you got from this seminar?
I think one thing that was notable that we were able to take away is we had quite a bit of instruction about agricultural issues in Florida. I think all of us are coming from a diverse set of commodities, a diverse set of experiences, and oftentimes we might be incredibly knowledgeable about our particular silo with regard to what the issues are for a particular industry or a particular region of the state. And I think it was incredibly useful and helpful for us to have Jamie Gerrells with Farm Bureau come and give an overview of important agricultural issues across the state and to rank them value-wise as far as what was the most important. And I felt it was very instructive for us to get that type of education so that we could relate to what may be more important to a larger segment than maybe what we're specifically dealing with on our own.
In all honesty, I feel like every issue that Jamie covered could be its own podcast. You know, she talks about water, you know, quality and quantity. She talked to us about labor, you know, the E-Verify heat ordinance, trade, the devastating market conditions for fresh produce because of Mexico, invasive pests. You know, we're that sentinel state where they love our subtropical environment, and then energy in terms of sustainability. For us, or at least for our business, man, it's labor. That Senate bill for E-Verify, it hurt us because we're over 25 employees by 6 employees. And so now we have to utilize E-Verify, and, you know, we lose 1-2 employees every couple of weeks because of E-Verify. And so labor has become a huge issue, for our business. And so hearing Jamie talk about, you know, this isn't the end of the road, and that there is things in the work behind the scenes that, you know, this too shall pass, and we'll work with it, and we'll figure it out, but we just can't sit on the sidelines. And I think that's what, you know, farmers do. We tend to just deal with it, and we deal with it, and we deal with it, and we deal with it. When in reality, we've got to start talking about it, and we've got to start moving forward. I think a lot of our organizations are doing a really great job, from Farm Bureau and FNGLA and Strawberry Growers Association and FBA. I mean, they're really doing a great job. And it's just, how is us as individuals, can we get more on board in helping resolve these issues or try to combat them?
Yeah, you touched on the labor aspect. You know, we have 50 employees here, and we've had to bring in H2A, and then that just brings up a whole new issue with, then you have to have the adverse wage rate, and it increases, you know, the cost of labor. Then you got to find different ways to do things. So I think you have to reach across the table and get all these different perspectives. And I love that she brought up five different issues all across the board, because it's all one, we have so many different personalities and diverse group that we could all help each other by working within all these different organizations, FNGLA, the Farm Bureau Federation. And I just thought that, that labor definitely was one of the biggest issues that I think a lot of people had in that room.
I really appreciate the diversity of the issues that she brought up and the detail that she included in explaining those issues. And I was surprised at what the top five issues she listed at were, because if you'd asked me to come up with a list, that would not have been the top five issues I would have come up with at all. I was just really taken aback at what those issues were. But then I was impressed to hear my classmates chime in and explain why these individual issues directly affected them. And it was great to see across different industries to see, for instance, how labor was specifically affecting certain industries in ways it was different than the way it was affecting others. Likewise for water and the same for trade. The idea of Mexican fresh produce dumping into the United States or dumping in Florida and crushing markets is completely foreign to me personally. And that goes back to being in your own silo and dealing with your own individual issues. And something like that wouldn't even have been on my radar at all as being an important issue here in Florida.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. It's so easy to put your blinders on and work towards, your own issues. But at the end of the day, we are agriculture. Each industry combines together. And yeah, I think you're right. I think we have to get out of our box and also help others in our industry that are facing issues that we don't really face. But I do think there's one issue that probably almost all of us are facing. And that's one of the issues that Jamie brought up that's going to be a future issue, and that's urban sprawl. Florida is the fastest growing state. It's a scary thing. It's exciting for the economy, but it's also scary. I mean, I'm in Manatee County right next to Sarasota, was born and raised, and Sarasota is the number one growing city in Florida. And so how do we balance agriculture and urban sprawl is definitely a future issue or a current issue, to be honest.
I'm 100% with you, Janiel. I was shocked that urban sprawl or land use was not in the current issues, top five current issues. I was completely blown away when she went through her list and that didn't show up, because if you'd asked me going into this, I would say, oh, absolutely, that's got to be the number one issue, period. She brought it up in the future issues. And I think that that's a good spot for it as well, because it is currently an issue, but in the future, it's going to be an increasingly important issue here in Florida. What was really neat about that part of the seminar is we had Jamie Gerald speak to us about what the major agricultural issues were in Florida. And then we segued directly into Senator George Lemieux. And Senator George Lemieux had a fascinating talk that he gave us, and it centered around the top 25 people that shaped Florida and got us to where we were. So we changed a little bit from learning specific about agricultural issues to learning some Florida history and learning about where we came from. For myself, I know in our class, we have 26 people that are native Floridians. We have one classmate from Texas, and we have three classmates from North Carolina. I being one of those from North Carolina, and it was super instructive for me because I didn't go to fourth grade in Florida. I went to fourth grade in North Carolina, so I could tell you a lot about the founding of North Carolina and how we got there, but I really appreciated Senator Lemieux's talk about the important people that shaped Florida and shaped where we were. He talked about Henry Flagler, about Walt Disney, Dr. Joseph Porter, and a myriad of other people. But the theme of it, when he got to the conclusion, we started talking about where we're going. And where we're going, it all centered around statistics involving growth. Florida is now the fastest growing state in the nation. Numbers from 2022 had 1,218 people a day moving to Florida. That outpaces Texas by nearly 300 people a day. It comes to just under 500,000 people every year. And it was noteworthy that he drilled down beyond just the number of people to the actual type of people, as specific to high earning people, as far as people who are earning over $200,000 a year. We outpace Texas 4-1 on high earning people who are migrating to the state of Florida. And all of this, there's a bunch of statistics that we went through, but all of it points to there's been an unprecedented amount of growth here in Florida, and there's no sign of it abating anytime soon. Since the 2010 census, the state's grown 20.5% in population, and there's no sign of it slowing down. And the last thing, and this is where it ties in so crucially to land use, is one of the points that he made is South Florida, the rate of growth in Southeast Florida is slowing a little bit. Southwest Florida, the growth is ramping up. And in Central Florida, the growth is ramping up. In Southeast Florida, growth is geographically constrained. It's constrained by the ocean on the east and the Everglades on the west. And pretty much the land space in between the various cities is filled up at this point. So the area where this growth is driving is up in the central part of the state, the I-4 corridor from Jacksonville running all the way down to Tampa. And those areas, there's open land, and it's making it affordable for people to come in and develop that open land. And that's going to be a theme for Florida going forward in the next 10, 15 years.
Absolutely, John. Well, I think that the seminar had some incredible speakers, some exemplary workshops, and I feel like we all learned a lot about ourselves and our values. So to wrap this podcast up, why don't we do some final takeaways? What is your final takeaway from this entire seminar? Why don't we start with you, Caleb?
Okay. My final takeaway of the seminar was, how important reflection is, and how to take time to just think about your thinking. It was really, eye-opening to me how much I just go after each, business meeting or seminar and just really get the science behind how to learn things correctly and to reflect the right way. That was really an eye-opening experience, especially right at the end there.
Absolutely. We had a lot of reflection. What would your final takeaway be, Janielle?
I'm on the same boat with Caleb. As an adult, I don't feel like I've ever really reflected. I made my students, when I used to be an ag teacher, I always made them reflect, but never did I myself. And so definitely learning your values and reflecting on those within decisions that you make, choices that you make, is definitely key. Also, I guess my other one would be to get involved. These Florida ag issues are not going away anytime soon. And you may be a member in your organization, but are you a leader? Are you doing, or are you just a member? And so really stepping up to combat those issues is something that I look forward to jump in on. And I guess I'll throw out the book recommendations really fast. Surrounded by Idiots by Thomas Erickson is more in depth about DISC and learning how to deal with people and their personalities. And then Florida Made, 25 Most Important Figures Who Shaped Florida, is from Senator Lemieux.
Yeah, we definitely got some great book recommendations and learned a lot about Florida agricultural issues. I think that's going to be really fun to keep learning about as the seminars continue. John, what's your final takeaway?
My takeaway is that our values as well as our personality really shape who we are. And for effective teams, we need all types of personalities and all types of values. Everybody brings something to the table. And it's really important for us to all realize that all of these personalities have value and bring value to make a strong team.
Absolutely. Very well said, everyone. A special thanks to John, Janielle, and Caleb for reflecting today and sharing their experiences from Seminar 1. Up next, we are heading to Tallahassee and the Panhandle area. Tune in to our next podcast to hear Class 12 reflections from Seminar 2. Thank you, everyone.